Chapter 31, Evil Spirits. Angels of God and evil spirits are plainly revealed in Scripture and interwoven with human history. Holy angels that minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation are regarded by many as spirits of the dead. But the Scriptures present proof that these are not disembodied spirits of the dead. Before the creation of man, angels were in existence, for when the foundations of the earth were laid, the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. After the fall of man, angels were sent to guard the tree of life before a human being had died. Angels are superior to men, for man was made a little lower than the angels. Says the prophet, "I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. In the presence of the King of Kings they wait, ministers of His, that do His pleasure, hearkening unto the voice of His word, an innumerable company, as God's messengers they go forth, like the appearance of a flash of lightning, so swift their flight. The angel that appeared at the Savior's tomb, his countenance like lightning, caused the keepers for fear of him to quake, and they became as dead men. When Sennacherib blasphemed God and threatened Israel, the angel of the Lord went out, and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. Angels are sent on missions of mercy to the children of God. To Abraham, with promises of blessing, to Sodom, to rescue Lot from doom, to Elijah, about to perish in the desert, to Elisha, with chariots and horses of fire when he was shut in by his foes, to Daniel, while abandoned to become the lion's prey, to Peter, doomed to death in Herod's dungeon, to the prisoners at Philippi, to Paul in the night of tempest on the sea, to open the mind of Cornelius to receive the gospel, to dispatch Peter with the message of salvation to the Gentile stranger. Thus holy angels have ministered to God's people. Guardian angels. A guardian angel is appointed to every follower of Christ. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Said the Savior, speaking of those that believe in him, "In heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father." God's people, exposed to the unsleeping malice of the Prince of Darkness, are assured of the unceasing guardianship of angels. Such assurance is given because there are mighty agencies of evil to be met, agencies numerous, determined, and untiring. Evil spirits, in the beginning created sinless, were equal in nature, power, and glory with the holy beings that are now God's messengers. But fallen through sin, they are leagued together for the dishonor of God and the destruction of men. United with Satan in rebellion, they cooperate in warfare against divine authority. Old Testament history mentions their existence, but during the time when Christ was on earth, evil spirits manifested their power in the most striking manner. Christ had come for man's redemption, and Satan determined to control the world. He had succeeded in establishing idolatry in every part of the earth except Palestine. To the only land not fully yielded to the tempter, Christ came, stretching out his arms of love, inviting all to find pardon and peace in him. The hosts of darkness understood that if Christ's mission should be successful, their rule was soon to end. That men have been possessed with demons is clearly stated in the New Testament. Persons thus afflicted were not merely suffering with disease from natural causes. Christ recognized the direct presence and agency of evil spirits. The demoniacs at Gadara, wretched maniacs, writhing, foaming, raging, were doing violence to themselves and endangering all who should approach them. Their bleeding, disfigured bodies and distracted minds presented a spectacle well pleasing to the Prince of Darkness. One of the demons controlling the sufferers declared, "My name is Legion, for we are many." In the Roman army, a legion consisted of from 3,000 to 5,000 men. At the command of Jesus, the evil spirits departed from their victims, leaving them subdued, intelligent, and gentle. But the demons swept a herd of swine into the sea, and to the dwellers of Gadara the loss outweighed the blessing Christ had bestowed. The divine healer was entreated to depart. See, by casting the blame of their loss upon Jesus, Satan aroused the selfish fears of the people and prevented them from listening to his words. Christ allowed the evil spirits to destroy the swine as a rebuke to Jews who were raising unclean beasts for gain. Had not Christ restrained the demons, they would have plunged not only the swine, but also their keepers and owners into the sea. Furthermore, this event was permitted that the disciples might witness the cruel power of Satan upon both man and beast, that they might not be deceived by his devices. It was also his will that the people should behold his power to break the bondage of Satan and release his captives. Though Jesus himself departed, the men so marvelously delivered remained to declare the mercy of their benefactor. Other instances are recorded. The daughter of the Syrophoenician woman, grievously vexed with a devil whom Jesus cast out by his word, a youth who had a spirit that oft-times cast him into the fire, and into the waters, to destroy him, the maniac, tormented by a spirit of an unclean devil who disturbed the Sabbath quiet at Capernaum, all were healed by the Savior. In nearly every instance, Christ addressed the demon as an intelligent entity, commanding him to torment his victim no more. The worshippers at Capernaum were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this! For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." For the sake of obtaining supernatural power, some welcome the satanic influence. These, of course, had no conflict with the demons. Of this class were those who possessed the spirit of divination, Simon Magus, Elymas the sorcerer, and the damsel who followed Paul and Silas at Philippi. See? None are in greater danger than those who deny the existence of the devil and his angels. Many heed their suggestions while they suppose themselves to be following their own wisdom. As we approach the close of time, when Satan is to work with greatest power to deceive, he spreads everywhere the belief that he does not exist. It is his policy to conceal himself and his manner of working. The great deceiver fears that we shall become acquainted with his devices. To disguise his real character, he has caused himself to be so represented as to excite ridicule or contempt. He is pleased to be painted as ludicrous, misshapen, half animal and half human. He is pleased to hear his name used in sport and mockery. Because he has masked himself with consummate skill, the question is widely asked, does such a being really exist? It is because Satan can readily control the minds of those who are unconscious of his influence, that the Word of God unveils before us his secret forces, thus placing us on guard. We may find shelter and deliverance in the superior power of our Redeemer. We carefully secure our houses with bolts and locks to protect our property and lives from evil men, but seldom think of the evil angels against whose attacks we have, in our own strength, no defense. If permitted, they can distract our minds, torment our bodies, destroy our possessions and our lives. But those who follow Christ are safe under his watch care. Angels that excel in strength are sent to protect them. The wicked one cannot break through the guard which God has stationed about his people.